We continue our learning of Ilyanish, Mas David ben Menachem, Rosh Chaim Yaakov, and Pinchas Eliyahu. We're in Beitza Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet. Ein poschines haner, v'pnei shehu oseh kli. You're not permitted to hollow out a candle, a lamp. This is where you took a piece of clay and you hollowed out a cavity so that now it would have a base kibble, a receptacle to have oil and put in a wick. You're not allowed to do that because you're making a kli. Making a kli, of course, is either a makeh b'patish or it's considered a building. There is a question Tosfos Yom Tov raises, why I need the Mishnah to teach me this at all. We're not allowed to make a kli on Yom Tov or Shabbos. Why would I think this is okay? So Tosfos says that you would have thought that maybe a lamp like this is not considered a kli until you fire it in the oven, right? You put it in a kiln. That's the way the laws of Tumah work. We assume if I make a kli, but I don't yet put it in the oven. We have this even in Bama Malikin, Velohiv Hava. When you have Kalim, you have earthenware vessels, but you don't put them in the kiln, so they're not susceptible to Tumah yet. So maybe it doesn't have the status of a Kli regarding Yontif either. So that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Regarding Yontif, it is considered a Kli even before you fire it up. Now, the Rambam understands this Mishnah differently. In fact, in the Gemara, the word is not Ein Poschin. You can't open up or hollow out, but Ein Pochasin. You can't to make less. And the way the Rambam understands this Mishnah, both in Hilchos Yontif and in his Perush HaMishnayos, is we're talking about the following. When you have, if you wanted to make two lamps, a pair of lamps, you take one piece of clay and you'd hollow them out, and then eventually, when it was all ready, you'd break them in half. So the Chiddush of the Mishnah here is that Ein pochasin, that's what it means. It means that you're not allowed to break the lamp into two. You have the two attached, and now you want to make them, to make them into a kli, so that already, of course, I'm not allowed to do. But now they're already hollowed out. I just want to break them now into two, and that way I will have two lamps. Now, the lamps are already there, so the fact that I'm making them into two, I could have used them attached. So the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that doing so, you're completing a kli. That's what it means. Mnei shehu oseh kli. You're now breaking them apart, and it's like a mitakein kli. Maybe it's only an issa d'rabbanan, but nonetheless, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Ein pochasin, poches, you can't diminish it, you can't break it, in that way, making it to two kelim. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. And then Mishnah says, ein osin pechamin b'yom tov. You're not allowed to make charcoal on Yom Tov. Charcoals are considered kalim regarding the laws of Yom Tov because people who would, if you purify gold, so you would use them. So that's why it's like making charcoal is almost like making a kli. But other Rishonim say that the problem here is simply making pecham, as we know from Bamei Mamlikin, the laws of Shabbos. We know that that's involves a malach of extinguishing, which is not allowed. Something that I could have done before Yom Tov. Vein choschen es hapsila l'shnayim. Nor can you cut a wick into two. That's also considered cutting in a wick into two is considered tikkun mana. Also making a kli, making a utensil is not allowed on Yom Tov. You don't mer chotcha ba'ur l'shtei neros. What you can do though is you can cut it with the flame into two lamps. What he's saying is, and let's say I need a wick for two lamps. So what I do is I take the two ends of the wick, I put them in the two lamps, and then I light the wick on fire in the middle there, and then magically it breaks into two. Since I plan on using both of the lamps, so it doesn't look like I'm making a kli. It looks like I wanna light both lamps on fire. And that's what I'm doing. I light the wick, and that way it happens to break, and therefore this is permitted according to Rabbi Yehuda. And in fact, the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Perek Dalid Mishnah, hey, ain't shoven es hacheres. You're not permitted to break a shard of earthenware or cut a piece of paper in order to roast salted fish on top of it. This is the problem also of making I'm making a kli. After all, people would if you wanted to roast a salted fish, you'd use paper or shards that were soaked in water and put them, let's say, on the fire, so that that way the fire itself wouldn't burn the fish. You'd have it on some you put it on the barbecue, but you have it on a clay on top. This way you wouldn't get burnt. So here, if I'm breaking a piece of pottery for this purpose, or cutting a piece of paper, that's like making a clay. And then the Mishnah says, Vein gorfin tanur v'kirayim. You're also not permitted to rake out an oven. That's the tanur that was used to bread. Kirayim were used, was a double stove used for two kalim. You're not allowed to rake them out. Now, what this is talking about is the following. You have the Bar Tanur says, based on the Gemara, im nafa l'tochan mitipula shel tanur umin hatiach. The problem is, plaster from the wall of the ceiling of the oven fell on out to the floor. So removing that plaster that fell down, is considered now making the oven into a kli and perfecting the kli. That's a problem of tikkun mana. Now, this is something that happened on Yontif. So it sounds like the Mishnah is following the opinion of the Chachamim. Remember, we spoke about machshirei ochel nefesh, preliminary acts of ochel nefesh, fixing the oven, sharpening a knife, that could have been done before Yontif. This is, the Chachamim say, you're not allowed to do it even if it could not have been done before Yontif. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're able to do if, this is based on Pesukim. We didn't mention this when we learned it the first time, but it says, Hu levado ye'eros alachem. Who comes to tell me who v'lo machshirov? Yes, ochel nefesh itself, and I'm machshir ochel nefesh. And but Rabbi Yehuda says no. It says lachem. That includes the chortzor chaychem, and that will include even machshir ochel yontif if it's something that could not have been done before yontif. So here it could not have been done. The ceiling, the plaster fell down in this kli onto the floor. I want to rake it out. So obviously the Mishnah is following the position of Chacham, because Rabbi Yehuda would say that you could remove it if you wanted to. Now the Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis brings a brisa that says, if you can't bake without getting rid of this plaster that fell, then you're allowed to remove it. So how do we understand that? So Rashi understands that that's like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, who would allow machshir ochel nefesh if it could not have been done before Yontif. So therefore, Rashi would believe that this Mishnah is not in accordance with that Braisa. Our Mishnah would not allow that, and that Braisa does allow that. Others claim, the Ran says, no, the Mishnah could follow Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because the Mishnah here is speaking of a case where I could bake. Why Rabbi Yehuda not allow what's going on in the Mishnah? Ain't girlfriend, he can't rake out the tanur and the kirayim. After all, didn't this break on Yontif? The plaster fell down. So the answer is, according to the Ran, that you could bake without getting rid of the plaster that fell. It wouldn't be as good, but you could bake. It's not like an oven that's broken, where I don't have a choice. It has to be fixed. Here, you could leave the plaster on the ground and the food would bake. Maybe it'd burn a little bit, but it wouldn't bake as well. But it certainly could bake, and therefore Ian Rabbi Yehuda would follow our Mishnah. But then the Mishnah says, Hava Mechabshin, you are allowed to level out the oven. And the Mishnah is saying, I'm allowed to spread out, let's say, the ashes or that plaster, the earth that fell onto the floor. So I'm not removing it, I'm not raking it out, but I am spreading it out on the floor, and this way the bread is not going to burn or the food is not going to burn. Now, one interesting thing is that the Rush understands that this is not an issue of tikkun mana at all. He thinks that I'm not perfecting any by raking out this plaster. It's not like I'm making the kli and perfecting the kli. He thinks the whole issue here is an issue of muktza, and that the plaster that's on the ground is muktza, and therefore this is something that I should avoid moving. The Bryce in the Gemara, which said that this is okay, is because if it's really impossible to use the oven without removing this, so then the Chachamim waived that prohibition of muktza. And in fact, then we understand what mechabshin means. According to the Rush, that the raking of the oven is an issue of muktza, so why is leveling it out okay? According to the way, the first way we understood it, is that, oh, it's leveling loud is okay because I'm not really making a kli, I'm not fixing the kli. According to the Rush, it's a whole muktza issue. So the reason why leveling out is okay is not about what I'm doing to the kli. It's the idea that I'm using, it's not a problem of moving muktza because the coals that I'm leveling out, the ashes, are still hot. and therefore don't have the status of being muktzah yet. We mentioned this all the way in the beginning, Efer Kira Muchanhu, when it came all the way to the beginning of the first Mishnah. So if I have, they're already still glowing coals, so they're like firewood, they're not considered muktzah. That's why Mechabshin, it's not about the fact that I'm leveling that and it's not considered making a kli. The issue is that it's not like moving muktzah at all, according to the Rosh, because those items are not muktzah just yet. Then the Mishnah says, Vein makifin shtei chavios lishpos alehen es hakedera. You're not allowed to position two barrels, one next to the other, so that you can now place a pot on top of them. This is also like making a kli. What we do is you put the two barrels next to each other, you put a fire in between, and this would be like a makeshift stove. So you can't do this. This is like building on Yom Tov. Vein som chines hakedera bebekas. And you're not permitted to support a pot with a piece of wood. If I have a pot that's not balanced well, so I want to support it and prop it up with a piece of wood, that's not allowed. I can't use the wood for that purpose. V'chein bedeles, and the same thing is true if I have a door that I need to prop up, I can't use that. Now, why should that be? Wood, we said if it's designated for firewood, so it's not muksa. So it sounds like from here that in Rashi understand the Daf Lamed Gimel, that this is all problematic only in according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you remember, was the more strict opinion when it comes to muksa. So if you follow Rabbi Shimon, this would be okay. Rabbi Shimon would agree that you can take this piece of wood and support up a door or a pot. It's only Rabbi Yehuda who's strict when it comes to. Obviously, this is Shabbos would certainly not be allowed, but on Yom Tov, it should be allowed. So, because after all, why should we be strict when it comes to muksa? You're going to tell me that I have an object, and it's going to be muksa for one purpose and not muksa for another purpose, maybe that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. That should not be Rabbi Shimon's opinion. And the Rashba says that's not true. The Rashba Daf Lamed Gimel in Beitza says wood is in a very different category. Wood, firewood, yes. If I designate it before Yontif, I'm allowed to use it, and it's considered non muktzah. But it's not like it has a status of a kli now. It doesn't have a status of food. Doesn't have a status of a kli. What is it? It's something the Chachamim allowed. A special dispensation. The Chachamim allowed in order you to cook or heat on Yom Tov. So that's true if you're using it for that purpose, but it still retains a muktzah status, so to speak, for other purposes, and therefore our mission would be in accordance with everybody. Even Rabbi Yeshua would agree, can't just use a piece of wood that was said designated for firewood to prop up a door or a pot. Vein man higin es abeheim of a makel b'Yom Tov. You're not allowed to use a stick to guide or lead an animal on Yom Tov. What's the problem? So the problem here is not the issue of using a stick that's muksa. That may be, let's say I have a stick that's not muksa. The issue is that it looks like I'm bringing, from the Batrino, Mishum Din Nire Kimolichol Limkor Bashuk. It looks like, has the appearance that I'm bringing the animal to the marketplace to be sold. That's a bizayon of Yom Tov, and that's the problem with leading an animal with a stick on Yom Tov. Rabbi Elaz, Rabbi Shimon, Matir. They say that that's permitted. We're not concerned that that has the appearance of bringing the animal to the market.